Good morning. I said this last week, but this is the last Sunday this way, so we're going to flip the auditorium next week. So if you're like, I have my regular seat, you're going to want to get here next week early to figure out what your new seat's going to be, because it will not be facing this way. So we're excited about those changes. Hopefully you guys have seen the transformation that's happened in a week. Really excited to be on this home stretch. And again, as Janice mentioned, thank you so much for your generosity. None of this is possible without your guys' trust, belief in what God is doing right here in his church in Blue Ash. So thanks again. We are on week three of our series, Just Tell Me What to Do. And so we're going to talk a little bit about parenting and methods and principles and all of those kind of things. And methods are many, principles are few. Methods may change, but principles never do. And this idea of that, principles and methods, may not be more true than in parenting. I love how Greg Matt says it in his book, I Am Changes Who I Am. He says, everyday life is different across countries, cultures, even across the street. Parenting methods differ from home to home. He says, we often fall into the trap of judging the way some parents choose to raise their children. The temptation is to focus on methods and think that one way is right and another way or method is wrong. He says, let me interject one common principle. He says, remember that you, not the child, are the parent. In many of today's home, he says, children are in charge. We worship them instead of raising them. An Englishman once observed, the thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children. He said two Christian families could look as different as night and day. The important factor is both families are focused on the Lord. Methods will look different even if our eyes are set on the same goal. And I'm sure you've seen this in your own life. Heck, maybe you've been questioned about your own parenting methods, or maybe you've even questioned other people about their parenting methods. And we're not really going to get into a whole lot of methods this morning, but we will talk about principles. Specifically biblical principles. We won't tell you what to do, but we will tell you what the Bible says about the idea of parenting. But before we get into the scriptures this morning, it's always a good place to start is invite God and his Spirit to help us hear and understand what he wants to teach us this morning. So will you pray with me? God, just thanks. Thanks for all that you're doing here in your church. But right now, specifically, will you just come prepare our hearts and our minds and open up our eyes and our ears for what you have for us this morning as it relates to being a child of you as our Heavenly Father and how we, if we are parents, can be better parents to those that we are parents to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andy. If I haven't officially introduced myself, thanks for joining us. I'm one of the pastors here. We are, again, in our series, Just Tell Me What to Do. We're looking at the ways culture and scripture or biblical principles sometimes clash. And then what we often can find ourselves doing is treating it like a buffet. Like, I like a little bit of these principles or methods from culture. I like what the Bible says here. And then we create our own lifestyle, or we would say a theology. And that's really, really dangerous. So our attempt is just to tell you what to do, or maybe a better way of saying it is tell you what the Bible says about it. If we only looked at one over the other, we can find ourselves in some really difficult situations. Here's an example. I'm the youngest of nine. Let that sit in for a second. I have one full brother, one full sister, the rest are half siblings. There was four of us that grew up in a household. By the time I came around, I'm an accident. I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't planned, but God knew that I was supposed to be here. And by the time I got around, my mom decided she wanted to go back to work, and I really felt cheated. Like, wow, you stayed home with all the other kids. Why wouldn't you stay home for me? But, you know, family looked different. They both worked full-time out of the house. I was a pretty good kid as the youngest. I don't know if that's a thing for the youngest, but I watched my brother make all the mistakes, and I was smart enough to know, don't do that, right? Whatever he did, I don't want to do that. Times were different then as well. Like, stores were closed on Sundays. I mean, most of culture was really slow on Sundays. If you were in sports, you didn't play games on Sundays. You didn't practice every night of the week. And this is just one example where how times have changed in our culture and our principles and even the methods, we see them clash and we just find ourselves really, really busy. Now, this isn't a message or a rant against youth sports, although I have some very strong opinions. And I am a sports lover. I'm just using that as an small example where we can see how the expectations of what culture expects and maybe some biblical principles that we might apply to our families and how they could really interact and really confuse us on what's important. So I want to try to get myself out of the way, and so we're just going to read the scriptures and try to understand what they're saying. Oh, one more thing about parenting, as we're looking at the Bible. There are a lot of parents, myself included, that love the scriptures that say things like, honor your parents, right? Listen, obey your parents. We're like, yes, I need my kids to read these scriptures, right? But what we often fail to understand is the assumption and command being made of what kind of parent they should be listening to. But we'll get there. In Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in the Old Testament, we see a story of the creation of humanity, and they're given this command to be fruitful and multiply, right? Have children. And in that is the assumption to parent them well, to raise them to know and love and do what you know, love and do, which is God. It's loving other people. It's creation. Love them all well. Take care of them. Take care of each other. In the story of Abraham and Sarah, we see God tell Abraham that he is going to be a father of many nations. So we're going to pause there. We're going to look at this for ourselves. It's going to be on the screens if you're following along. If you have your Bible, you can go to Genesis 17. If you don't have a Bible, they're free out in the hall. You're going to see some bold and underlying things in the scriptures on the screen. And if you're following along your Bible, I encourage you to underline or circle your actual Bible. And I know there's some of you like, what? You cannot write in a Bible? You absolutely can. It'll be fine. I do it all the time. This is what it says, Genesis 17, starting with verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make you, I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, God says. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. God says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and for generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. If you're following along, those bolded and underlined words were faithfully, blameless, covenant. Abraham fell face down. We're going to look at all these. Father, I've made you a father. And then, of course, the phrase to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Now, here comes some principles for our life as it relates to being a child of God, to loving and following God well. It said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. To walk before God is to conduct ourselves in a manner that God approves of, right? As a parent, these are two principles to live by as we walk in a manner in our own lives that in a way that God approves of. To walk before God faithfully and blameless. Those are the principles. And the Hebrew here in the Old Testament, which is the original language of the Old Testament, faithfully means to be established in. To be established in. So to walk before God faithfully means to be established in the ways of God, to strengthen our ways with God or to grow in our ways of God. Blameless here isn't perfection. That's not what this word means. Blameless means innocent, pertaining to a person or condition of moral goodness, with a focus of being guiltless and not liable for sin or wrong. So blameless is the pursuit of moral goodness and innocence, which we cannot accomplish on our own. None of us can be good enough. None of us can be moral enough. No matter how much effort, no matter how much we try, we just can't get there. But we can be made innocent only by the blood of Jesus, though. And as we pursue Jesus in our lives and allow him to guide our way, we become more like him. Our morals begin to change. I said this last week. The outflow of those principles put into action is we become better kingdom-minded people. So as a parent and a child of God, we model these principles well first. Let me say it this way. As a child of God, we model what our Heavenly Father does, and we walk in the ways of our Father. We become established in those ways. We strengthen our belief. We grow in our faith. We ask our Heavenly Father then to forgive us, to grow us, and change us to be more like Him. Then, when and if we become parents in this world, we continue to do more of the same. Let's go back to the scripture and see what it says next. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and blameless. We talked about that, and be blameless. Then my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. And then it says, Abram fell face down. So as we walk with God faithfully and we're blameless, then God, that's what it says, then God, this doesn't mean we get this right? But it does mean we actively pursue and believe in God. We actively live for God. We try to live the principles that He teaches, that He gives us. We live in the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We go to Scripture for wisdom. We pray. We do all those things. Then God goes ahead of us, and He said He makes a covenant with us, which is an agreement from God that will not be broken. He will not break His promise, His covenant with us, right? This wasn't just for Abraham or Abram at the moment. As we'll see, this is for generations to come. It's a promise from God. Then we see Abraham responded with lots of questions for clarity, didn't he? He said, well, God, you can't do that. You can't make these promises. You don't know about my insecurities. You don't know everything. He didn't know any of that, did he? He heard the promise from God and he fell face down. Falling face down is just an act of worship, an awe. We talked a little bit about that last week. It's a respect thing. Abraham didn't use any words. He showed, he modeled what respect to God looked like. Abraham acted in a role of a servant. This is our role as a child of God, to serve our Heavenly Father. Our lives should be a reflection of God's love and His servant heart for His people. Jesus Himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Servanthood is a reflection of submission and love for one another. It's a submission and love for one another, even in authority. Biblical servanthood is about loving God and loving others well. I think that's a pretty good principle to add to our parenting, right? As one of God's kids, we reflect that by loving our kids well. But that can only happen when we have the correct view of who God is, what God has done, and what God can and is still doing in our own lives. This happens when we fall face down and worship our Heavenly Father. We show Him the respect and awe that He deserves. The next word or phrase that we'll come to is that this idea that Abraham is going to be a father. It says, Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. Father here means one who cares for persons in need as a figurative extension of a father caring for a child's need. It also means a title of respect of a lesser to greater in authority, implying relationship and respect. So as a parent, then we're responsible. I was the community pastor there. We love the community there. We built the house, put our house in Deer Park up for sale, sold it twice. The buyer's financing fell through both times. I'm like, what are you doing, God? Like, none of this makes sense at all in the moment. So we put both houses for sale, and the one that we built sold. And I can tell you, every time I used to drive to work or head up for a small group or a training or meeting, there was a little bitterness in me, like somebody's making memories in the house that we built. No idea what God was doing behind the scenes, but He was disciplining me to trust Him. Like, do you trust me, Andy? And now it makes all the sense in the world. You know, we're 5 minutes from the church that He asked me to start here, and to have this great community of people. And I can tell you story after story where that's been true in my life, where I don't understand the decision He makes in my life, but it's for my own good. There are times and circumstances in our lives, as God is our Father, that he's going to ask us to do something or he's doing something in our lives that makes no sense at all. In our limited understanding, we can't grasp it. We don't understand. But God is working behind the scenes. I'm sure this is how the servants felt in the story where Jesus turns the water into wine. Jesus tells the servants to put water in a bunch of jars. So they're thinking, what in the world are we doing? No idea what Jesus is about to do. And he changes that water into wine. And that's the thing about our faith. The obedience is not always the results of our complete understanding. Many times it's a matter of just trusting God and having faith that he has a plan, that he is control. He's in control. Faith in his sufficiency can lead us towards that obedience. And the greatest gift, the greatest principle that we can pass on to our kids is that of faith in Christ, is an obedience to that. Because faith is not born at some kind of negotiation table, like where we offer God our gifts and like, hey, and if I do these things and you're going to give me these good gifts and in exchange, I'm going to get this mercy and grace from you, right? Like, that's not how that's worked. That's not how faith is born or grown. Faith is not an award given to the most learned person. It's not a prize given to the most disciplined person, or who somebody that just works at it. It's not handed out as the most religious. Faith is a desperate dive and out of a sinking boat of human effort, and it's a prayer that God's going to be there to catch us. The Apostle Paul wrote about this kind of faith in a letter to the Ephesians, and he said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves." Means we can't earn it. We can't do anything. "It's a gift from God. We can only receive it. Not by works, so that no one can boast." So let's be children of God that live out this kind of faith, so that we can teach our kids to live their lives seeking, pursuing, and loving God with that kind of faith. I mean, imagine if we became those kind of kids. Right? Children of God. Imagine if this is the way we trained our children up in the way they should go so that they would never depart from it. I believe this is what the Bible's telling us to do. Now, we can do trainings and we can tell you about all kinds of different methods that can help with the parenting and the principles. Some of them will work for your family. Some of them won't. Like, we can do those things. I love methods. Trust me. I am the methods guy. But we got to get the principles right. And then, as cliche as it may sound, we start to pray together as a family and go, how do we instill these principles into our own family life? The culture that we've built in our walls, under our roof. Because the way we parent, the methods that we use may not be the ones that you want to use or even can use. Right? And if you're like, I'd like some help on methods, write that on your Connect card. I'll follow up. There's some great resources I can put in your hands, tell you the things that we've done. And if there's enough interest, I'm happy to do some parenting seminars and classes. I love those kind of things. But let's first get it right with us. Let's be a good child of God to our Heavenly Father. Grab your Connect cards. As Janice mentioned, we believe God has the next step for you, and your simple obedience of filling out your name is a next step in itself, being open to what God might have for you. We always try to offer 3 or 4 different next steps for you, some applications, some practical things, some methods, if you will, to the principles that we've been talking about, so that you can continue to engage Christ throughout the week. But you may have your own. Simply write that down, drop it in the offering when it goes by in just a few moments. The first one is this: accept Christ for the first time. Maybe today's the day you recognize Heavenly Father for who he actually is. He is God and you are not. That he has unmerited favor for you, mercy. You can't earn his love. He just loves you because he created you. He didn't create you by mistake. There's no mistake that you're here, that you're listening this morning. He has something for you. He wants to remind you whose you are. He wants to remind you how much you're loved, how much you have to offer to the kingdom, that you're gifted, that you're special, that you're anointed because you have his Spirit living in you. literally the same spirit that we're going to celebrate in 2 weeks that raised him from the dead is alive and well in you. And I know that's hard to believe sometimes, but it is so true. And the work that he can do in you and through you when you allow that to happen is a miracle. It's remarkable. That's the relationship that Jesus is inviting you into. All of that. Heavenly resources. We talked a lot about that in the last series. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen to those messages. So write that down. If you accept Christ for the first time, mark that in the box, drop it in the offering. We want to follow up with you. Make sure you get the free resources out in the hallway. We'll be doing, hopefully we'll do some baptisms early in this final edition of the flip here and the renovation. The second is the memory verse. A couple more weeks for this quarter's memory verse, but it's the Lord's Prayer, and it's a good one to sit in. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Everything that we need today, give it to us. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And the application, the method for this week is, as God's kids, walk faithfully and blameless in the covenant of God's promises for us. It's the same promise for us. Knowing that he is our true Father in heaven, so that we can raise our children in the way that they should go well. It is the airplane thing, right? Like, in case of emergency, the oxygen is going to come down. You do your child no good if you don't put your oxygen on first. Got to put the oxygen on first, and then you can take care of the ones that you love. The same is true for us as it relates to being good parents. We have to be a good follower first, because then God fills us. He starts to identify the brokenness in us. He starts to heal us. He begins to change us so that we interact with those circumstances and the challenges that children bring, because they're trying to find their way. They're trying to find their voice. They're trying to find out who they are. There's no better way than to raise them up knowing who they are in Christ. Be confident in who God has made you to be. Be bold in that. But we've got to get it right first. And the fourth next step is receive prayer. Several ways you can do that. Of course, write it on your Connect card, drop it in the offering. We pray for these every staff meeting. Honored to do that. It goes to our prayer teams as well. You can email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. And of course, we're going to have prayer teams in the back. I think that's the most impactful way to receive prayer personally. I love to pray for people that way. I love to be prayed for. And I'll often go back and get prayer because I'm human. I happen to have the title of pastor here, but that doesn't mean I got it all right. That doesn't mean there aren't difficulties in my life. That doesn't mean I don't have questions. That doesn't mean I don't have brokenness. I covet your prayers. And sometimes I just absolutely need them. I imagine you guys aren't any different. So cross that line of fear, as Activation Ministry says. Go back and receive prayer. Even if you don't even know what you need prayer for, just say, I just want some prayer. But maybe you have a specific need that you want to take to your Heavenly Father. And trust me, as his Father, he knows what's good for you. But you don't know until you go and receive that kind of prayer. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering. And if you want to drop your Connect cards in there, you want to direct your attention to your communion elements that you had received when you walked in at that table. And if you didn't grab them and want them, by all means, you can head on up grab your communion elements. But this is something we do almost every week. And it's easy to do these things every week and just kind of go through the motions and forget about the heart and the meaning behind them. So I just challenge you to pause in those moments. And I know it's just a wafer, and I know it's just some juice, and I know we talk about it's God's body and his blood that was shed. But let's sit in that and just imagine, especially as Good Friday's coming, and just imagine that he willingly and obediently walked to the cross. Even at one point, he was like, Father, if this cup could be removed from me, but your will be done. It's remarkable when you really sit in that and try to imagine that he willingly was beaten and broken for us. He willingly let his blood shed. He willingly gave up his life. They didn't take it. He gave it. And that's what we remember. We also remember that Christ is alive and well in each and every one of us. Let me pray. God, thanks. Thanks for the many principles that you teach us. And in Scripture, there's lots of methods that we can see. But God, help us to pay attention to the principles, the things that you're trying to teach us individually as your own kid. The principles that maybe we wander from, or maybe we've picked up a cultural principle in place of a biblical one. Would you just highlight those in our lives? Would you help us repent from the wrong principle that we're pursuing? And God, would you give us the wisdom and discernment, even of the method that we could use as a couple, as a family, as a child of yours, to implement it well, to glorify you in the process. God, we love you. Thanks for continuing to pursue us, continuing to love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're free to sit or stand.